message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're glad you've joined us today. We trust that our time together today and God's Word will prove a blessing and help to you as we look again in Romans chapter number 8. One of the favorite chapters in the Bible for most believers is the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. And certainly it's a high point in the book of Romans. The first 8 chapters deal with an explanation of the gospel of the grace of God in detail. And he lays down 2 basic foundational principles of grace. In the first 5 chapters, the issue of justification by grace through faith plus nothing. And then in chapters 6, 7, and 8, the issue of sanctification. That is, and that word sanctification, you know, we use that word, we talk about a sanctuary and a saint. It means to be set apart. The Bible definition for the word sanctification means to be set apart for the purpose for which God created something. He says in Ephesians 2, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God did before ordained that we should walk in them. To be a sanctified believer, to be saved by grace through faith in the finished work of Christ, not of our works, but just Him saving us. The work's His, the salvation's His. We are His workmanship. The only response grace will accept is faith. Faith is the only thing you can do without doing something, because faith is trusting the Word and the work of someone else. So when we trust Christ and by grace are saved, based upon the all that God is able to do for us through the finished work of Christ, God saves us by His grace. He also saves us for His glory, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, the issue of sanctification in the life of a believer is the issue of being set apart for those good works which God before ordained that we should walk in them. We're set apart for the purpose for which God created us. And that's the issue in Romans 6, 7, and 8. When you come to Romans chapter 8, he deals with the power of the Spirit of God working through the believer, in and through the believer, the life of Jesus Christ working through us to accomplish God's glory. Romans 6, he deals with the fact that we're dead to sin. Romans 7, we're dead to the law. Romans 8, we're dead to the flesh. The principle of sin, the old sin nature, the law as a means of operating, and the old self-life are not the way that our lives are going to be set apart for the purpose for which God created us. Rather, we're to live consistent with the new identity, the position that we have in Christ, Romans 6. We are in Christ Jesus. And we're to live consistent with that new identity that God has given us in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. We've been baptized into Jesus Christ, and there we've put on Christ. We're new creatures in Christ. Romans 7, we're to walk consistent with the program of grace. We're not under the law, but we're under grace. There are 2 great programs in the Word of God. One is the law program. One is the grace program. They're both God-given. They're both good, holy, and righteous. They're just different programs. They're both valid and workable programs. They're just different. And they can't be commingled. One destroys the other when you put them together. And God in the dispensation of grace has not placed us under the law program. And if you seek to live the Christian life and live as a child of God under a performance system, that's what the law is. That's what legalism is. It is a performance system designed to use fear and guilt as motivators, where it's a system of conditional blessings, blessings conditioned upon your performance. You work under that system, your Christian life won't operate, because that isn't the way God's working today. The way God works today is on the basis of grace. That is the free gift system. God gives you in Christ what He has for you, and then He lives His life through you. We said to you so often, the exchanged life motto, that Christ gave His life for us at Calvary, so that He might give His life to us when we trust Him, so that then He might live His life through us day in and day out as we walk by faith in the truth of His grace. And that's where we're at in Romans chapter 8. We're down to verse number 10, a tremendously important verse, where Paul describes the uniqueness of the position that you and I as members of the church, the body of Christ, have. When he says, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Notice this expression about if Christ be in you. That reminds us of Colossians chapter number 1. In Colossians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul talks about Christ being in us. And he says that's our hope of glory. What does it mean? Well, in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, he says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You understand to have Christ in you. When God puts you in Christ, by virtue of putting you in Christ, he put Christ in you. You're in Christ, encapsulized with him. But that means he's also in you, dwelling in you by his Spirit. And his presence in you gives you and me the ability to cry, Abba, Father. There's only one person in all the Word of God who ever addressed God the Father in the term Abba. That's sort of like saying Papa. When I was a kid, I was born and raised in Mobile, Alabama. And we never called our dad, we always called him Dad or Daddy or Pop. And when I was a little kid, my brother and I called our dad Popsicle, because you call him Pop or Papa, and little kids we like popsicles and ice cream, so we call him Popsicle, and that's a term of endearment. And when my children were born, they call their granddad Popsicle, and my dad would just look at his grandkids and they'd call him Popsicle, and that was the greatest thing. You know, grandkids are wonderful, they say. And boy, for my dad to be called Popsicle by his grandkids was just the world's greatest thing. And when he went to be with the Lord on his deathbed, we held the grandkids up to the window there in the hospital, and they waved at him and said, "Hi, Popsicle! Hi, Popsicle!" And that was a real touching thing for him. Well, that's what this term Abba, Father, is. It's a term of endearment. It's a term like Popsicle. It's a term that everybody can't use. See, only a special class and person can use. When my kids said call their granddad Popsicle, it was far different than anybody else calling him that, because it was a term of endearment from people from two little boys, three little boys really, who were the apple of his eye. Special kind of endearment. Well, the only person in your Bible, in the Scriptures, that ever bowed his knee before God the Father and cried, Abba, Father, is the person of Jesus Christ. He does it in the Garden of Gethsemane in Mark chapter 14. You and I, as members of the body of Christ, you and I, having been placed into living oneness with God's Son, are given the privilege of addressing the Father in exactly the way Jesus Christ did. Do you understand, my friend? Abraham of old was called the friend of God. He never dreamed of having a relationship with God like you and I have. Moses was the servant of God, and God met with him and taught him face to face and spoke with him personally. And Moses never fathomed the possibility of ever being welcomed into the presence of God with free and open access, and been able to sit down at the Father's table and look across at him and cry, Abba, Father. Moses never dreamed of that. Saints in time past never thought about it. You and I have been given an extremely precious privilege as members of the body of Christ, in that we are in a living oneness with Christ. So it's little wonder that in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, Paul says, to whom? To the saints. God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. God wants you to understand the wealth that is yours through the mystery of His grace, so that you can appreciate the wealth and the value of possessing the relationship where Christ is in you as your hope of glory. Now, to understand that, you have to understand what He's talking about here when He says in Colossians 1:25, "Whereof I'm made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me to you, for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints." God Almighty desires for His saints to know what is the riches of the glory of this mystery that was revealed through the Apostle Paul. In your Bible, there's a period that is called time past. And in time past in the Bible, in former ages back there, God dealt with men on the basis of a distinction between the circumcision and the uncircumcision. And we've studied this on our studies together time and time again. You know, as we study here week after week, our studies are progressive. If you've tuned in today for the very first time, you've tuned into a continuation of a Bible class. We have this Bible class week after week. We only are able to have 30 minutes at a time because the racing red hand on the face of the studio clock keeps ticking by. But each week we study. And I trust that if you're tuning in now, maybe for the first or the second time, you'll make it a habit to be with us week after week. God's Word's a wonderful book. But you never get it all in just one little half hour time. And I'm not really interested in just having little ditties, you know, sermonettes for Christianettes. We're studying the Word of God here, and we spend the time and the effort and the energy to put these programs on. There are people in your community right here, just like I am, that love you and are interested in you getting some in-depth study in the Word of God. So we study week after week, and we've been studying, and for many weeks we've studied about rightly dividing the word of truth, and we've seen that in time past there was a division in the way God dealt with men, a distinction between the circumcision and the uncircumcision, between the nation Israel and the Gentiles, the rest of the nations of the earth. That division goes back, starts back with Abraham, and begins to come through the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the 12 apostles and so forth is in here. Christ dies at Calvary. He's buried. He's resurrected. He ascends into heaven, sends the Holy Spirit upon the apostles, and in the early Acts period, that division and that distinction is still there. In time past, God met with men in and through the nation Israel. If the nations of the earth down here, the Gentiles, if they wanted to come to God, the way they came to God was they came to God through the nation Israel. They had a choice. They could come up there and be circumcised and join the nation Israel as proselytes. They didn't have to be born in the nation. They could come and join the nation Israel and accept Abraham, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and be circumcised and be treated as though they were a natural born. They could become naturalized citizens of the Commonwealth of Israel. If they didn't want to do that, they wanted to retain their national entity in the nations of the earth, then they could come and bless the nation Israel, put themselves in submission to God's chosen people and bless Israel. And God had promised the nations, "Them that bless thee, I will bless." One of the blessings that the nation Israel had was the fact that God dwelt in their midst. Israel had a house of God. The only house that God has ever in this book designed to live in, He gave to the nation Israel. It's called the tabernacle, and later it was made into the temple. And that thing was a little house that God gave the design to Moses. And inside of that house, inside of the gates of that house, there's an altar there and a laver for washing. And then there's the holy place, little booth in here. And there's the holy place. And then inside the next little chamber is the Holy of Holies. And the three parts to that, there's the outer court, the holy place, and the Holy of Holies. And the Shekinah glory of Almighty God dwelt in the holy place. And God's presence shone out of that holy place in a blazing representation of light. The glory of God shone out, and light prismed through the refraction of the light through the presence of God shone out as the Bible calls it, a rainbow, the bow, the appearance of His glory, all of the multifacets of light shining forth, manifesting forth His glory. Now, that presence of God in the earth was manifest through the nation Israel, specifically there. And when they wanted to meet with God, they came to the door of that tabernacle with the offering and the sacrifice, and they met God right there. There was a place in the earth where God had chosen to manifest His presence. Now, understand, God is God. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He can be anywhere, and He's not limited by time or space. But God being God has chosen to manifest the glory of His person in a place so that you and I as His creatures can understand and relate and see Him and know Him. And that's where He chose to do it. And in time past, where God manifests Himself, and if you wanted to contact God and fellowship with God, you went through Israel and you went to Israel because God dwelt in their midst in that tabernacle. And Exodus 25 says that's where He dwells, and He met with them, and that's where He was. The nation Israel rejected the Word of God, and God in fact came and dwelt in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, also in their midst. But He was still Israel's Messiah and Israel's hope. So there was a place. In time past, you remember Daniel, for example. Daniel's off in Babylon in captivity in Daniel chapter 6 and the lion's den and so forth. Well, what was Daniel doing? He was praying. And he would open the doors of his apartment and pray toward Jerusalem. Why did he do that? Because he knew that's where God was. That's where the manifest presence of God was to be in the earth, was over there in Jerusalem and so forth. In Acts chapter number 3. The apostles go up to the temple at the hour of prayer. They were going to a building to pray. In time past, you went to that building because that's where God was. In Acts 3 even, still in the time past program, they went up to the temple to pray because there was a place to go. Now, we move from time past into what Paul calls the but now. And he talks about not the prophetic program, but the fact that God has set the nation Israel aside. And he says in verse 20-25 that He's made given to me, that is Jesus Christ, gave to the Apostle Paul in here what he calls the mystery. This mystery program, this secret program, a program that wasn't found, that isn't going to be found back there because it was hid from ages and generations, but now is made manifest. And what does it have to do with? It has to do with the forming of the church, the body of Christ. It has to do with the dispensation of the grace of God. It's found written down in your Bible and in the books of Romans through Philemon. Paul's epistles particularly give you the doctrine and the walk and the duty and the information about this. What I want you to see is what he says in verse 27. To whom? To these people right here. God would make known to you what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is the riches of the glory of this program? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Folks, you and I don't have to go anywhere. We don't have to go to a special building, be a part of a special nation, go at special hours of prayer to contact God. You know where Jesus Christ is today? He's in you. And He's your hope of glory. Do you realize that's what the verse is saying over there in Romans chapter 8? If Christ be in you, He's in the body of Christ, but He's in you personally if you're a member of the body of Christ. Christ in you is your hope of glory. Do you understand that everywhere you go as a child, if you're a child of God, you carry God around with you? That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Well, sometimes when people go wherever place you go, it might not be so wonderful. It might be a little upsetting too, huh? You see, when you go somewhere, do you realize God went with you personally? Do you realize that truth goes with you? We live in a world of trouble and woe. A world dying for a touch of love and compassion. A world that needs the light of life that's in Jesus Christ. And everywhere you go, you carry Him with you. You know what you need to do? You need to open your mouth and let Him out. You need to get in that book. Let the truth of what God's doing in His book fill your heart so the Spirit of God can take those truths and live them out through you and speak them out through you for His glory. You need to learn truth so you can proclaim truth. That's why Paul says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, my friend, you and I in Christ have instant and complete access. There's an old Quaker saying. It said, whosoever carries about the presence of God with them can pray whithersoever they go. What does that mean? That means there's never any barrier, never any access. Somebody says, well, God's phone number is Jeremiah 33:3, you know. No, you don't contact God long distance. They did that in time past. He was the God of the earth and He dwelt there. Then He's the God of heaven. And they have to pray across. You don't pray. Someone called me the other day and they said, Brother Rick, can you help me? My prayer life is just a mess. It seems like the heavens are brass. And I just can't penetrate heaven with my prayer life. You know what you need to do? You need to quit trying to pray through the heavens. You see, folks, when you pray, you don't have to. If you're a child of God today, you don't pray to God off yonder in heaven. He dwells inside of you. He dwells in you. You don't have to go to some building. We meet in our assembly. We meet on for study and for fellowship and for worship. In our local assembly, we have an auditorium that we meet in. That auditorium is not a sanctuary like back there. It isn't the house of God. You know where the church, the house, and the house of God? I'm the church. The people are the church. Somebody asked me the other day, said, well, where is your church, Brother Jordan? And I said, well, it's scattered all over Dallas, Cook, and Kane, and Will County. And they said, whoa, did y'all do have an explosion? I said, no, it's just the people. It's the people, and they live all over that scattered out area. They're in the Chicago, Illinois area, and they live out over about five counties, so they're scattered out. We're the church. And Paul said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know what it means to be in Christ? Well, Ephesians chapter number 2, and to have Christ in you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, Paul says, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Through Him, through the blood of His cross, through what Jesus Christ did when He died at Calvary and shed His blood there, He gives us access. Back here, they had to come, and without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. To get in there, they had to come, and they had to offer the blood, and they had to have the cleansing, and they had to take the blood in there. Now, because of the blood of Jesus Christ has been poured out around Calvary, folks, you and I don't have to go through the veil, past the blood. You and I have instant access because we have a complete and eternal redemption. They had to come up here and get priests to go in for them and do ceremonies and so forth. You and I don't need any priest. You don't need a priest. You don't need a pastor. You don't need dead saints. You don't need angelic intercession. You don't need anybody because you have instant communion with God Himself in the person of His Son through His Spirit that dwells in you. You know what you have here? He says, God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He says He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's it. That's it. He said, wherefore He hath made us accepted in the Beloved One, in whom, in Christ, we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Look at here, folks. You know how you have it? You have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sin, where? In Christ. In Christ. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. If Christ be in you, the body is dead. The old life is over, folks, because of sin. And the Spirit is life because of righteousness. You've got the absolute perfect righteousness of God in Christ. And He puts His life. And Christ, who is our life, shall appear. And you see, the life that we now live in the flesh, we live by the faith of the Son of God. We live like He lived. You know how He lived? Jesus Christ lives His life in absolute, complete, and total dependence upon the will of God. He lived his life in absolute. He said to the Father, he said, without the Father, I can do nothing. You know what he said about his disciples? Without me, you can do nothing. You know what Paul said about himself? For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. It's Christ, it's Christ, it's Christ. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, the goal of the Christian life is not simply to come along and stop sin and stop failure in your life. The goal of the Christian life is to have Jesus Christ's life manifest through you. Songwriter said, dearer to God, dearer I cannot be, for in the person of his Son, I am as dear as he. Nearer to God, nearer I cannot be, for in the person of his Son, I am as near as he. If any man be in Christ, there you are, he's a new creature. Have a new identity in Christ. You're a new creature. You're somebody brand new. Who you are is a person who has this privileged position of Christ in you, the hope of glory, and he's the issue. And folks, the issue in our life is dependence upon his life. You can't live the Christian life, only he can, and he's in you. He gave his life for you so that he could give his life to you when you trusted him, so then he could live his life through you. Your dependence, your faith, your confidence in him to live his life. That's what the Christian life is all about. It's not my serving and my doing. It's not me being dependent. It's me depending upon him, not misplacing my dependency, but simply placing my faith and trust in who God made me in his Son and making Jesus Christ everything. That's what makes the grace of God so wonderful. Thanks for being with us today. Until next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape you'd like you to have to go along today's study. The tape is entitled, The Hope of Glory. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during regular business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 279. That's tape offer number 279. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us today. If our study together has been a help to you, we're happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know. We're happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best between next time for another Message of Grace.